Day 4. Engage. Welcome to Day 4. You're doing great. Keep up the good work. Today we will be discussing the battlefield of the mind and how we should look at our lives from a Christian perspective. Life tends to challenge our mental game regardless of whether we believe in Jesus or not. Adding the redemptive process into the mix can get very difficult and complicated because you will find great opposition as you strive toward your relationship with God. Two enemies. To understand the battlefield of the mind, we first have to understand who we are actually battling. We as humans are unfortunately hardwired with a sinful nature due to the fall of man. Every human has two enemies, and those are the following. The sinful nature. Colossians 3:5. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Romans 7:20. Now if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. 1 Peter 2:11. Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lusts which wage war against the soul. The enemy, Satan. Ephesians 6:12. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. John 10:10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. 1 Peter 5:8. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. We have these two forces working against us at all times. Since we still live in this world, which is fallen, and our soul dwells in the body and mind, which has the fallen nature, we have to acknowledge these opposing forces so that we take into consideration what actions we should take to battle and win the fight. Daily victory is obtainable and very possible, but we have to make a commitment within our faith and use the right spiritual disciplines to ensure victory. Our daily target. So what is the goal for the believer on a daily basis? What is our target or objective? What does it mean to have daily victory in a practical sense? Let's go through a few verses that will help shape us to understand this concept better. 1. We live daily to glorify God. 1 Corinthians 10:31. So whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. This is a simple verse with powerful insight for the believer. Since our lives are now in Christ, everything we do ties to a greater purpose and meaning because we understand the unique position we now have with God. We no longer are just living for ourselves. 2 Corinthians 5:15. But we are living to know and honor God by living a life underneath His Lordship. The personal benefit of following God and dying to yourself, Luke 9:23-25, is a life of purpose, meaning, Romans 8:28, and relationship, 2 Corinthians 5:17-19, with the Creator of the universe. The enemy will try to convince you that you are giving up too much of your life for God, but that could not be further from the truth. We see in Luke 9, verse 25, it says, "What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit their very self?" What the enemy and your sinful nature will not disclose to you is the blessing in Luke 11:28, the favor in Psalms 84:11, and the fullness of life in John 10:10 that proceeds from a life of commitment to Him. This doesn't mean that everything will go perfectly in your life. There will be injustices that happen, hard times and struggles, but you do not face it alone. We have the Lord with us throughout it all. 2, we live daily for God's will. 1 Peter 4:1-4. Therefore, since Christ suffered in His body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude, because whoever suffers in the body is done with sin. As a result, they do not live the rest of their earthly lives for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. For you have spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do, living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and detestable idolatry. They are surprised that you do not join them in their reckless, wild living, and they heap abuse on you. We are reminded in 1 Peter that we live for God's will as believers in Jesus Christ. We will go a lot deeper on the topic of God's will in week 5, but we must recognize that giving glory to God is us living out His will for our lives. So how do you know God's will for your life? God's will for you is not a destination, nor do you just arrive at God's will one day. God's will for your life is an ever-unfolding direction provided by the Holy Spirit until we die, and it requires us to walk in obedience to the Holy Spirit's guidance. This also means we strive to abstain from anything that leads us away from the will of God. 3. We live daily to love God and love others. Matthew 22:37-40. Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself." 40. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. This third focus can be simply understood that we love God with our entire being and love others. The heart represents emotion, the mind represents our thinking, and the soul represents the spirit or the spiritual aspect of the human. If we want to gauge our daily living, this is a great measurement of how we are doing. Are we loving those around us? Are we loving God with everything we have in us? As we love both God and others, we are glorifying God in part and doing His will in part within our lives. How to stay engaged. So all that we have learned today has led us to this point. We know the enemy. We also now know our goal. So how do we stay engaged on a daily basis? There is no perfect answer to this question, but I do want to highlight a few things I truly believe would be helpful through the Word of God. Romans 12:1-3, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will." 1. Become a living sacrifice. So I know this terminology sounds a little barbaric, but it holds so much power. As we have been discussing, this life is no longer ours, as Scripture says we are now hidden with Christ. Colossians 3:2-3, "Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God." To become a living sacrifice means that we offer our lives to God for His glory. This is the only way we move from conceptual Christians to devoted Christians. If there is no commitment within this step on a daily basis, your spiritual journey will end very quickly, and the thought of God and the power of salvation will just become a nice thought, not a reality. Staying engaged takes a tremendous amount of commitment and effort, mentally and physically, but your mind has to be fully engaged to want it. This is why you see in the diagram at the top of the page, the commitment arrows. There are no shortcuts to becoming spiritually mature. 2. Renewing our mind. Below are a few methods that I think of the idea of renewing our minds. This is a very similar activity to physical training. We have to train our minds to stay committed to God daily because we are hardwired to desire and pursue the things of this world. Please take time to read each verse. How do we renew our mind? First, Scripture, Joshua 1:8. Second, worship, Psalms 150:6. Third, taking every thought captive, 2 Corinthians 10:5. Fourth, dependence on the Holy Spirit, Galatians 5:25. Fifth, prayer, 1 Thessalonians 5:17-18. I want to expand upon one last thought to wrap up the conversation for today. To take every thought captive is so crucial to you as a believer. You have the power through Christ to take every thought captive, meaning every negative, sinful, lustful thought, etc. As the gatekeeper to your mind, imagine, hypothetically, that you're standing at the front gate of your mind and the gate is closed. Only you possess the power to open that gate. So when lies, negative thoughts, anxiety, depression, and sinful thinking come to that gate, you now have the power to reject it as a believer. In addition, the good news is that the Holy Spirit will actually help you to identify what thoughts are approved. All that you have to do is listen and obey.